Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This was hinted at, I think, both by Caleb Williams and then again in Ben Johnson's Monday press conferences, which I feel like are becoming as important as the press conferences that we hear right after the game. Because when he watches tape, I feel like there's always another observation there. There's a better understanding of who he is after he watches the game a second time. And we're asking the question, are we finally seeing the Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson partnership actually really come together? I say finally. If you're looking at just games, it's not finally. But if you're looking at months and what feels like a very long time, you knew it was going to take some game time. But there may be a better representation of that in what we saw in the game on Monday night, especially when you consider he admitted it. Like, I went over that sound again after the game when once I heard Ben Johnson speak yesterday. I just wanted to make sure I had it right from the press conference where he said they simplified that playbook, which I feel like was the right decision. And so to put that together, to further understand what your quarterback is doing and what your offense can do, then those adjustments are going to result in a more accurate understanding of who this team is. And thusly, your quarterback.
You know the phrase work in progress? That's how we've described both Ben Johnson's tenure with the Bears and Caleb Williams and his partnership. Work in progress. Two important words in that. We've seen the work being put in from training camp to this point in the season. We also can say, oh, there's progress. And so by those two metrics, you look at what they've been able to do, and you talk about the playbook being torn down to the studs and now being built back up. But if you ever go to like one of your favorite restaurants and, you know, sometimes they have a changeover from the lunch to the dinner, and then there's a very limited menu.
Mm-hmm.
But those menu items, they're usually the best things on the menu. They know what their hot sellers are. And I think right now, that's what Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson are working on, is that smaller menu. But guess what? Dinner's about to be served. Let me just tell you that. And the menus are going to get better and better and better.
Well, and I think it goes back to, if you want to create these base formations where the defense is going to have to commit to a lot of what you're doing because you're doing it well, and you can't do that thing as well as you would like say run the football to certain parts of the field, or the screen game wasn't being set up in a way that was productive, what are the adjustments that are being made? And then therefore, what are you seeing out of your quarterback? Like, I remember asking Caleb Williams with Mark Grody during training camp, and he was coming off the field after practice. I don't think he was in an optimal time to really have that discussion, but that was our time with him, so we did the most with it. And I asked him, I said, you know, what is this offense going to look like when you're your best self? Because with some people, you can tell. Like, you know what the Kansas City offense looks like when Patrick Mahomes is cooking. It's a lot of off-platform stuff. Somebody you're asking, how did they get so wide open? Have we seen it as much this season? No, but go back a couple of years and you know what I mean. Especially when Tyreek Hill was still on the team, you'd be asking every week, like, how did he get that open? And then Mahomes is finding seams in the middle of the field you didn't think existed, and Superman is happening. Like, you know with certain offenses what they look like when that individual is playing to their best abilities.
We saw that with Dan Campbell on Sunday night, as he discovered when he said, we're going to need 30 points to beat the Chiefs. They did not get 30 points. Meanwhile, Mahomes was out here cooking minus a Tyreek Hill and showing you that he can make the best of what they have. And he's got Rashee Rice coming back now. So you understand that Mahomes, you know what to expect from him. With Caleb and Ben, we're still kind of figuring it out. But I'll tell you one thing, unlocking the running game, that unlocks my imagination as to what we could be seeing coming forward.
And I talk about the spread offense a lot because I feel like there are base spread offense concepts when it comes to what we're seeing out of Ben Johnson's offense, but also because the sexiest offenses we saw in the college football game, which speak to a lot of what Caleb Williams does well, is everybody thinks it's throwing for a billion yards. And no, it was actually using the run to open up the pass. That's still, I think, the base concept. So when you said, as the head coach, we're not doing this well enough, then that means your passing game isn't going to be as open. And I think we're seeing a little bit more of that take shape with the Bears. Like, for example, you know, you saw the deep shot to Luther Burden down the field, and then you got to see what Luther Burden does. Like, I know what that dude does when he's his best self. Like, we saw it on Monday night, putting the moves on people and then getting, what, another 10 or 12 yards after contact. Like, we saw him use his body, the adjustments he's able to make. That is watching him do what he can do well. And even with the Lions this year, we saw the Lions be their best version of themselves against the Bears, unfortunately. But we're still trying to figure out how that looks here. And as time goes on, we will get a better understanding of what that truly is. But the reason we're bringing it up today is because, once again, Ben Johnson was asked about it after he watched tape again in yesterday's availability. So let's listen to what he had to say about how he and QB1 are growing together.
He and I, we just got done meeting a minute ago. And so I think what you're noticing is the more time that we're spending together, the more that we're getting on the same page of why we like things, why we're calling it, what we're looking for. And I think it's going to help him to play faster. And when you're playing fast, normally everything will slow down for you, and you're going to be in good shape. And so we're still working through that. There's a number of plays there from last night that I think we're really going to get better from. We're banking reps as we go. We're not making the same mistakes. And I think he's getting this broader understanding for maybe some things that we don't talk about that particular week, but yet if we hit them on another week, they do carry over. And so we're just continuing to get more and more knowledge as we go. And so I think that's really key for that relationship.
Now, that doesn't sound like anything super wild. Like, these aren't massive declarations that are going to move mountains, but it is how you get better. It's that boring aspect we hear Craig Counsell talk about all the time. Within the boring becomes the progress, which becomes the better result.
I love charting the journey through the sound of Ben Johnson and the way he describes things from the introductory press conference. Now, at this point, the latest audio that we have is him after watching the film talking about it a day after they get their third straight win of the season. And I'll say this. I don't know that Ben Johnson expected this team to be this good this fast from a wins-loss perspective. I think they're probably doing on the field the types of things he wants them to do, and he sees the steady progress, but I think that's amounted to more wins and losses than he probably expected. But he's going to be good with that. And he's saying this entire time, Caleb is going to take time. He's not going to be the same quarterback in September that he will be in January. I love that, but I love understanding, as he tells us each and every week, multiple times a week, that he is seeing what he needs to see from Caleb Williams. Because I do know this. He has talked about things Caleb Williams was not doing well and pointed them out. He's not afraid to criticize any of his players.
Well, and even the way he was able to get 252 yards in the rain, when you knew you were trying to develop that running game, those aren't the numbers that'll knock your socks off, but it is something that is cumulative. Like we talked about, everybody's keeping an eye on the 4,000-yard rusher or passer mark, rather. And your math said 4,010 yards is what he's on pace for. Brad Biggs said 4,009. I'm going to let you two duke it out amongst yourselves.
No, it was 4,008.6, I believe.
Okay.
So he rounded up to 4,009. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I knew you guys were a yard apart, but that's the point here. We're all keeping our eyes on the same thing. I don't necessarily think this year that needs to be the benchmark. As much as we made it something that we thought could happen last season,
I need to see how it
broke down. He threw for 3,500, and that was good for me.
No, I'm saying for financial purposes, I need him to hit 4,000 yards.
Got that FanDuel, huh?
I'm just doing what I can do. I'm doing what I can do, okay?
Are you kidding? Yeah, FanDuel builds those out for you. Our segment on Raheem Harrison Grody is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com, saving on dental implants today. And I also think that a big part of what we're seeing, though, is that the offense did look more open even in the game on Monday night. Like, he didn't execute it. Like, it was Roman double coverage, which I still think was a bold choice. But he still took a shot downfield in a way that I hadn't seen so far this season. That is something I do want to see. I believe that that makes your offense better. I think good things happen when, especially on second and short, you take some risks. I also think that's where a really good screen game comes in. Second and short, your best third down conversion at times is your second down, as we know.
I love that they take shots. Because you need to take shots to keep the defense honest. I don't know about that shot. I don't know that that shot was for everybody.
I know what he's trying to do. I just don't know that in the NFL you can get the visual that you need for that catch.
Well, look.
I want it to happen for them, but I just, to go up and get it versus whole professionals is a difficult thing.
Well, the Guagi wasn't there in the double team when we're talking about Roma Dunze, but I get it. Try to draw the pass interference.
Go up and get it! Incomplete.
Yeah, but it's okay, though, is what I'm saying. It's because I feel like there is a balance and an understanding between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams.
Right.
And Caleb Williams understanding, hey, I can be pedestrian. Let me put my glasses back on and be the Clark Kent that Ben Johnson needs me to be to just make this offense functional. We saw a functional offense. How many times did they punt on Monday night? The offense was moving down the field. How many three and outs did you see on Monday night?
If you want to indict the offense with one thing, unfortunately, 3 for 10 on third down was probably it.
That's fair.
Like, that's a number that has to improve.
But they started 1 for 7 and went 2 for 3 on their last. So
they still won the game.
Yeah, and they won the game. I'm not trying to dance around the fact that the Bears have a winning record and they are winning games and the players seem to be bought in and they're not at full strength. But who is when it's the NFL that we're talking about? He may not have DJ Moore this weekend, but Ben Johnson has Caleb Williams doing the things that Ben Johnson wants to see him do. That's the most important thing in this equation right now.
Agreed. And 847, we have some good texts here, and also shout out to our Twitch crew, twitch.tv/Chicago67. 70 the score. There's always a good conversation going on. And on Twitch, 847 says, when he takes a shot, people say, why didn't he check it down? When he checks it down, they say, why didn't he take a shot? Okay, yeah, if there's what, 7 billion people in the world now? Yes, they probably will say different things. My philosophy, Layla, I want to see him take a shot every now and then, at least once a half. And then I assume that when he does check it down, there's a reason. So you're not going to hear that from me. I understand why, to your ear, it might sound like people are contradicting themselves. Yes, everybody contradicts everyone.
So to 847, who also said, that's two of my measures, better on third down and fewer in three outs.
Well, yeah, okay, then so, you're measuring right to me. I agree with you from a football standpoint.
So here's how those two thoughts that the texter had correlate. When you say, why didn't he check it down? People were mad because Rome threw up the mailbox on the one play. Well, he scrambled for a first down on that play.
Rome signaled he was open. And yes, to me, that was a situational football result. Down and distance, he knew he had to get a first down. He knew he could.
And so people aren't, let's not conflate. Both those things can be true in different ways because it depends on what type of shot you're taking, number one. And then are you checking it down to move the chains? Those are two things.
Facts. Also, let's listen to what Caleb Williams had to say on Monday night after the game and how he feels about his coach.
Caleb, you mentioned how you didn't think that the touchdown play call was going to work, but how does the way Ben puts creativity into the run game, help out on the field and show results there?
Yeah, he is a mastermind. And so being able to have him, sometimes he's on the headset and it's like, this is a great play call right here. Here we go. He did that today and he says that to me. And so he has all belief and confidence in himself. Those little things actually provide confidence, when you're about to go call the play and, you line up and you're like, uh-oh. And then the play actually works. And so the belief and trust in him, the faith in him that he's dialing it up and he does every time.
Yeah, working with Ben now 5 games in, just where is that relationship? And do you feel excited about where it's going?
Yeah, I'm excited every single day that I get to wake up and be coached by him. And I know the other guys are also. I think we believe in him. We trust him. We trust our other coaches. I think that's going to continue to keep growing. The belief in him is there, and we want to win for him, and we obviously want to win for us and the Chicago Bears.
You know what that sounds like to me?
What does it sound like?
Respect.
I think he had just the instant respect and credibility on day one, just because he's in your division. You see what he does. You know he's had the best offense for the last 3 years going. I think that's one thing. But I think the most important thing about what he said there, talking about his head coach, Ben Johnson, for Caleb Williams, is that Caleb is admitting that when he hears the play call, sometimes he's like, that's genius. That, like, it makes sense to him. Like, if he was playing Madden, he gets it, right? But the other thing is, when he doesn't get it, and then it works, that's just further instilling more confidence both in Ben Johnson and the offense that's been laid out in front of him with all these playmakers. And now effectively, an offensive line that looks like it can block efficiently, yeah, both in pass and in run.
And it's going to be working on improving, too. And thankfully, we've got the time to see that happen. This is Raheemy Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. Our producers today are Ray Diaz and Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. I mentioned that you can text us and call us. 1245 is when we're planning on taking your Cubs calls, because Jed Hoyer is at 11. That number is 312-644-6767. And we're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Our video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. When we have breaking news on The Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories, as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Coming up next, Ian Happ. And we have some breaking news to discuss with Ian Happ, so we will do that on the other side of this. You're listening to Raheemy Harrison-Grody on The Score.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.